The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code ROSS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code ROSS only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Monster Monday presented by DraftKings, America's number one rated sportsbook app. It is a new week, which means we've got new winners, a new spread the word winner at Ross Tucker NFL, at Ross Tucker Pod, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It doesn't matter. I noticed. I appreciate it. Thank you. Yes, I'm talking to you. It means a lot. I like to send you signed press passes from games from this season or football cards or pictures or whatever you want. I love to do it. Sponsor confirmation email winner. How about Simply Safe? How about Purple Mattress? Let's give them some love. I love them. I've told you guys about both of them for a while now. There's a reason why, because I use the crap out of both of them. And then the YouTube shout out. Look, I want to get to 2,000 YouTube subscribers. We got to do it. So this week, anybody that subscribes to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL, and comments. The first 8 people that do that today, you're in the next YouTube exclusive show. Just telling you that right now. Actually, you know what? I'll pick random people. Random people over the next 3 days, you're in the next football feedback with Ross Tucker. You come on the show, you ask me a question, but you have to subscribe this week. You have to comment on a video this week. I will pick 8 at random. And you'll be part of the next football feedback with Ross Tucker. Can't wait. Almost like I can't wait to talk with today's guest. He's an oldie. He's a goodie. Like, I have a guest list. He's in all bold, all caps. You know what that means? He's a regular. I want him to be a regular because he's that good. He is my buddy, Dave Damashek.
The Big Show.
His Twitter bio says he is an accountant. Taste. And I would agree. You need to follow him on Twitter at Damashek. You need to check out the -3 podcast. It's excellent. I've been on it. You need to check out the Extra Points podcast. Also excellent. I've been on it. You got Dave's of Thunder as well. But there's two specific reasons why I needed to have Dave Damashek on today's show. And by the way, just so you guys know that Sheck is a rock star. It's 6 a.m. right now. This is as late as I record, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. L.A. time. And Dave Damashek doesn't care. He is DTP. And I didn't know what that meant when I asked him if he would do it this early. He said, I'm DTP. I looked it up, digital publishing. I'm like, you're digital publishing? No. What are you? What are you, Dave Damashek? Or should I say JP Lossman based on your YouTube handle?
First of all, you called me an oldie. Which is weird. I mean, I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Two, for the visual consumer, what a treat. I had no idea that Ross Tucker had received as many as 6 game balls over the course of his illustrious career. Mazel tov on that to match, the 6 helmets that you got. And three, DTP down to podcast. I love flapping my gums as much as you love flapping yours. That's why we get along so well.
Love it. So, by the way, the oldie but a goodie was in reference to you're not a first-time guest.
I see. Okay.
You're like a regular, like you're an oldie, but a goodie. So
I'm also an oldie, so that's fine.
All right. So we got to get into the Jags uniform and pizza toppings. Very important. But I do want to start with Big Ben because I'm fascinated by this. You are my Steelers guy, you and Matt Williamson, but I, you know, you're my guy. And here's what's crazy about it. I was on a Pittsburgh radio station last week, and even I tweet and they tweeted something I said about it, about, you know, I don't think that it would go over real well with a lot of the guys like Cam Hayward, Minkah Fitzpatrick, TJ Watt, etc., if they didn't bring Ben back for one more. I had no idea, Shaq, none whatsoever, how many people, including both radio hosts I was on with, on the Entercom affiliate in Pittsburgh, they want to move on from Ben. They're done with Ben. Like, a lot of the tweets I got from people, he sucks, Ben's done, Ben's over, it's time to move on. I really did not know that it had gotten to that point. Evidently, you're aware of this.
Well, yeah, it's very funny. As a media entity, the Pittsburgh market is very pessimistic right now. They really were crushed collectively by 11-0, and then what happened there. I don't happen to subscribe to the sky is falling theory, and you know, you're exactly right, because that's what I've been saying for the last couple few months now. This idea since the decline came, and yes, when a player hits the decline, it's a cliff. It is not, and we've discussed that many times before. It's not a gentle decline into good night. It's one day he's okay, the next day he stinks. He's a liability. And you know, you think about like Peyton Manning, the way he went out. If he had been on a mediocre roster, that would have been an ugly departure. Instead, he goes out holding a Lombardi, but that's thanks to the defense. And it's really not that far away from where Roethlisberger was, just a couple of months ago. So where he is as a player, I'm with you 100%, Ross. I mean, listen, you can get that cap hit down. And now it's getting a little murky. And what Kevin Colbert really was getting at last week is, are Ben and his agent somehow balking at the bare minimum that he can play for at $19 million? Because if the cap hits $19 million, there's just no workaround. Whether he turns to dust 5 minutes from now or shows up at training camp in August, the hit is the hit. And so, like you say, Tucker, what's the workaround? What's the realistic alternative? Mason Rudolph? That doesn't seem inspiring. That doesn't seem any better to me than rolling with Ben Roethlisberger. You can come up with crazy alternatives like Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson or whatever else. Those aren't going to happen. In reality, Roethlisberger's your best bet. And these people who indulge this, well, just you know what? Just throw Mason Rudolph in there and whoever and stink it up real good and reboot and get a high draft pick in the first and come back and draft somebody. This assumes a great deal. One, that there's somebody there that you actually really desire at the top of the 2022. That's a little bit off in the future to determine Spencer Rattler or whoever's going to play savior. In the meantime, though, that's the point that I keep making is this idea that the Steelers are going to go 3-13 with Cam Hayward, TJ Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and that defense doesn't reside here in reality. That's just not they went 8-8 with Duck Hodges 2 years ago.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Okay. And I don't know why this, I don't think this is that complicated. Through the first 11 weeks of the season, I thought they were the best team in football. When you looked at the offense, the defense, the talent, I thought they were the most well-rounded, best team, okay? You get rid of Roethlisberger, that's $22 million in dead cap money this year. That's not going to help you. Now, like, it appears as if Steelers, people that want to move on from Ben, they want to just take the dead cap money now, and they want to find out if Mason Rudolph and or Dwayne Haskins can be the guy moving forward, and they think that this is the year to find that out. I respect that, Dave. I guess I would just say this. Roethlisberger was coming off a year in which he did nothing last offseason. Like, he had the elbow surgery. Remember when he did that pandemic video no chance he was less than 300 pounds in that pandemic video. I mean, he couldn't move. His arm was like in one of those like weird things where you can't, it's totally immobilized. Like, I personally believe if they say, listen, Ben, let's, you know, do a 3-year deal. It's really a 1-year deal. It's a breeze deal, right? 3-year deal. We'll give you $10 million signing bonus or whatever. You're playing for the minimum. You prorate that out 3 years. Cap comes down, et cetera. But really, no one with the understanding it's only one more year. I just think if he knows it's his last year, like he can actually rehab his arm and his elbow this whole offseason, which he couldn't do last year. And by the way, like, he wasn't that terrible. I mean, didn't he throw for 500 yards or something in that Brown, like whatever in the Browns game? Like, he wasn't great, but he wasn't that terrible. How about being able to run the ball for a yard? I mean, how about so many other things that we could get into here? Defense didn't exactly show up as well as they could have down the stretch either. I just think they were too good last year. Roethlisberger's been too good to not give this group of players one more chance. That's my opinion, because if you move on from Ben, all those guys, they know DeCastro, whatever, right? And I know he didn't have a great year, but they know that they don't have a chance to win the Super Bowl. Like, they know that. And you can say, well, you never know, Mason Rudolph. And evidently there are people in Pittsburgh that like Mason Rudolph a lot more than I realized, Dave. But they know they're not winning the Super Bowl with a guy like Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins. When every year that's the goal, I think it's very difficult to go into a season knowing ahead of time that that is not a possibility.
I completely agree with you. And really across the board about what you said. And the thing about, like, that's going to be the premise of an entire professional football season, that you're going to devote the tail end of Cam Hayward's prime to seeing if Mason Rudolph is good. Like, what? That's the entire value of a football season. That's loco to me to evaluate that. There are other ways to determine if Mason Rudolph's the man. And by the way, he's not some first round investment that you have to, you owe it to him and the organization to see what Mason Rudolph has. Come on. And Dwayne Haskins is a fine project too, and maybe he'll work out. But I'm with you 100% that the severity of the reaction compared to the quality of the play is a little outsized about what happened with Roethlisberger and the Steelers down the stretch. That offensive line was a mess. I can point to a lot of different reasons why they kind of imploded there. I also have to be fair and say, if the football team is based around, that's obviously the way those cap hits work with the outsized percentage of the cap that the quarterback consumes, then he has to take an outsized percentage of the blame or the credit for victory. And they really did go down the tubes. There were some atrocious passes by Roethlisberger in the first half against the Browns in that playoff game. But I'm kind of with you that, okay, he's not, shrug off four defenders and run around and do a couple loop-de-loops and then make a playground play to his favorite wide receiver, Ben Roethlisberger, anymore. I do think, again, given the constraints of the cap and otherwise, who are you getting to replace him? And if it's roll with Mason Rudolph, that's too uninspiring for me if I'm Cam Hayward and otherwise. I would rather roll with Roethlisberger. And I think that's the conundrum where Colbert is now. Like, what if, you know, if they can get, I think he's looking for the wiggle room, that if they can get a third round pick to the Jets for Sam Darnold to take a flyer on a guy like that, I think maybe that's what he's looking for, is the latitude to say, like, Roethlisberger's our quarterback today. And he's also managing the ego of Roethlisberger, that if they turn around and like, okay, we're going to bring you back, Roethlisberger. Oh, and by the way, we just brought in Sam Darnold. I think there's a lot of ego to massage there and that transition from Roethlisberger to the next. But the idea that in a world of full QB saturation, which is to say there are more viable starters than there are starting gigs in the NFL at this point. There really are. If you look around between Jameis and Cam and Marcus Mariota / Derek Carr and all the kids about to make it into the league with via the draft and otherwise, we don't have to go crazy looking for gotta find his replacement right now. Like, I don't see reasonably who's out there unless, like I say, they can get Sam Darnold. That's an intriguing one. But in the here and now, I think that the overreaction to how bad Roethlisberger is versus the reality of them having been a 12-4 team, and they're relatively close. And by the way, if you really want to chop it up, I know we're here in February, but if you really want to look at it, are we positive the AFC North, like the Steelers are doomed to third or fourth place? Are they definitely? I mean, the Browns barely beat Mason Rudolph and the Steelers in a game that the Browns had to have it to make the playoffs. All that stood between them and the playoffs, the promised land that they had sought for so long, was Mason Rudolph in Cleveland. They barely beat that. That's the team that, well, the Steelers can't compete with that team a few months after they just won the division against the Browns. And the Ravens, are we positive that there's no catch up, that the league doesn't continue to catch up, and the major shift there on the front seven in Baltimore? Are we positive that the Steelers can't compete in that division in 2021? I mean, I'm just not that pessimistic about it.
All right, Sheck, let's move on to an even more important topic. And this is something I tweeted late last week at Ross Tucker NFL, pizza toppings, and in particular, mushrooms.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there with you, really. That was a weird reaction you got, and I think you kind of deserved it. It was weird, like you made this definitive proclamation against mushrooms, which was a little harsh, frankly.
I don't get it. Like, they're like these squishy, gross things that don't have flavor. Like, you know, who's about to order a pizza that says, you know what I want? I want some squishy fungi on top of this that has no real flavor. That will enhance the cheese and the sauce of the pizza I'm going to consume. I don't want pepperoni. I don't want sausage. Nope. I don't want ham. I want a squishy fungus that has no flavor. Who makes that decision? Check.
Is it a tent pole item of a good pizza? No, it's not. I allow for it if it's your pleasure, a mushroom, if you feel like you're doing your body right by throwing the fungus in there. I think that's what leads a lot of people in that direction, is like, well, we should get some vegetables in there. It's, you know, it's the person who eats a couple eats a double cheeseburger but gets the diet soda on the side to trick their brain into thinking they're doing something good there. Here's the problem with all vegetables, but definitely mushroom, probably of all the things you put on a pizza. The problem is people try to get healthy. You do that, it sweats, you see. It's got water inside of it, and then it sweats on the crust, and then the crust gets soggy, and then you wonder, like, why is this pizza not as satisfying? Why is it not that? It's because you put the vegetable on there. That's why. And when these people, these Weisenheimers, do the thing of like, let's go half and half. I don't like your meats on my side of the pizza. You know, you get your sausage or your sliced meatball. And by the way, that's the number one pizza topping, is sliced meatball. Pepperoni, I respect you. I love you. We've had a lot of good times together. Same goes for you, sausage. But if given a choice, it's the sliced meatball. That's number one. Now, don't buy this jive when people give you the crumbled up ground meat and they put that on there. That's not a meatball. Who do you think you're fooling, pizza maker? You put ground beef on there and you called it a meatball. No, thank you. You don't know what you're talking about. You're not to be trusted going forward. Now, the mushroom, the people who do the half and half pie, who are like, oh, my half is going to be mushroom. You've just spoiled the entire pie. Because there's no way that the pizzaoli at the local pizzeria down the street knows how to make the one half cook all the way through. You wind up with a soggy pie. No one ends up happy. Just stay away from mushroom. Yeah, you know what? I'm fine with it. I don't take as harsh a posture. It just is a pie ruiner. So I think ultimately you and I park our cars in the same garage on this.
Yeah, and I guess the whole thing to me is like, even like with like peppers and onions, and like you're trying to make an inherently unhealthy thing healthy. And I just think right. you're kidding yourself. Like at that point, just have a salad. Like at that point, just have a salad. Like I don't know. I don't understand that. I do want to know though, whether or not you understand the Jaguars' decision to go back to teal at home. And do you support this? Did they consult you for this? And do you support this decision?
First of all, it's sadly ironic that I, the uniformant, given the state, you know, what COVID's done to me. Look, I've been cutting my own hair now for a year, Ross Tucker, and it's getting worse. It's getting worse and worse. So for me to weigh in on fashion, although isn't it weirdly ironic that so many of the fashionistas out there, the people who are the go-tos for this, are also ridiculous looking people. So maybe I fit into that. By the way, onion, to go back very quickly, that smells very good and makes it worthwhile. When you smell that onion pizza in the restaurant, like it smells good. I don't mind. And green pepper also can be pretty good too. You know what the master move is? Double cheese, well done pizza. Thank me later when you get back from cloud nine, get back to planet Earth.
I may try double cheese. Well done. I might try sliced meatball. You know what I realized is a game changer? Double cut pizzas.
Parties.
Little kid parties. So there's like 16 slices instead of 8. It's great because
it is nice.
I'm convinced I only have 3 or 4 of those. It's really 2 slices. Like,
yeah, end up eating more pizza, don't you?
It makes it easier to have less, and it makes it easier to have more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, What ends up happening is you trick yourself, and next thing you know, you just ate a pizza and a half. My reaction to the Jaguars news is the same as I think every other human being on planet Earth is like, wait, the teal wasn't their primary color? Like, I really did a thing in my head of like, wait, is that, oh no, wait, wait, we're not close to April 1st yet. Like, I thought it felt like one of those kind of social media gimmicks, like, as opposed to like, should teal be our primary jersey color? Like, as opposed to what? I don't know what your primary jersey color is if it's not teal. Yeah, it's weird. I don't detest the state of the Jaguars uniforms right now. I mean, they kind of put themselves into a bad spot on day one when they were like, yes, our color scheme is black, teal, and gold. Well, that's not going to work out no matter what. But we've talked about it before. At least, like, the land of turquoise and teal and everything should be Florida. Just as long as you don't drag it up to, like, when the Grand Hill era Detroit Pistons. And when people got crazy about teal and it started going everywhere from the Marlins and then it went to San Jose Sharks. And it was like, okay, now teal's getting popular. It went too far when it landed in Motor City. It's like, okay, turquoise and orange, okay in Miami, not okay in Detroit. You know, like just the same way that you don't go with the Steelers or the Browns in the Rust Belt color scheme. You don't put that, you know, you don't do that in L.A. You don't do that in Tampa. Those don't make any sense there. Same goes in reverse there. But all right. Congratulations, Jags. You have
Shaq, your reaction was perfect. And I had the same. I'm like, I thought they were teal. It's amazing. Check out this guy on Twitter at Damashek. The -3 podcast is excellent. The Extra Points podcast is excellent. And this guy is super close to 200,000 followers. He's not a vain person, but let's get him there anyway. Why not?
Yeah, I am.
Because he's not vain, let's get him there. I love it. Thank you, Sheck.
All right. Go eat a not mushroom pizza on me, Ross Tucker.
Thanks as always, Allie. Dave Damashek, my buddy, absolute stud. Speaking of studs, most of you are men. And even if you're not, most of you run the household that you're in right now. Men, women, doesn't matter. There's no genders here. You can make the decision to protect your family, and you should. SimplySafe.com/Tucker. It's incredibly easy to customize your home. Just go to SimplySafe.com/Tucker. You can easily choose the exact sensors you need or get help from one of their experts. Look, my wife and I went to dinner Friday night. I posted the picture on social media. We had a babysitter. Yeah, I put the alarm on while we were gone. Make sure everything was good. We went skiing yesterday as a family. Got back. Alarm still on. Nobody was in the house. Love it. Go to simplysafe.com/Tucker today to customize your system and get a free security camera. Trust me when I tell you, these can and do have a big impact and can be evidence that you need in a case. I have proof. SimplySafe.com/Tucker. SimplySafe.com/Tucker.
Tuck Takes.
Good morning, Ross. Well, it happened on Thursday afternoon, so you have probably had a lot of time to think about it. And, well, what do you want to say? Carson Wentz from the Eagles to the Colts for a third-round pick in 2021 and a second-rounder that could possibly turn into a first-rounder in 2022.
Right. So I could go really deep in all the Wentz stuff, and I don't know what happened to him. I really don't. You know, I think the combo of them drafting Hurts, Wentz playing poorly, I just think he lost his confidence, and I think he was not used to the level of criticism that he received, and I don't think he handled it well. As for this particular trade, here's the thing I would say. People are like, oh, I don't know if it'll be a first rounder or not. It's got to be 75% of the snaps for Wentz or 70% and they make the playoffs. Here's the reality. If it's not a first round pick, this is a terrible trade for the Colts, right? Because that means either Wentz is really bad and they have Jacob Eason or somebody else playing, or it means that Wentz got hurt. Either way, they just took on a contract with more than $40 million fully guaranteed for a guy and gave up a third round pick and a second round pick for a guy that got hurt again and or can't play. That'd be a terrible trade for the Colts. So it better be a first round pick. Otherwise, it's a bad trade for the Colts. That's how I look at it.
Tuck Takes.
More players getting released in cap-saving moves, including the Falcons. They released safety Ricardo Allen and defensive end Alan Bailey. The Panthers released Trey Boston. Packers, Christian Kirksey and Rick Wagner. Eagles released DeSean Jackson.
I kind of have like a collective shrug of my shoulders for people that are checking us out on YouTube. And by the way, I said it earlier in the show, but I'll say it again. All you need to do this week to be a part of our next YouTube-exclusive show, Football Feedback with Ross Tucker, where you come on the show like Brian is right now or like Damashek was and ask me questions, all you have to do is subscribe to youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL this week and comment on any of the videos. I will track eight people and five to eight. I think five to eight somewhere is the right number. But I usually send the email to eight because not everybody can come on at the time I need to do it. And you can be on it. So speaking of YouTube. But anyway, I'm shrugging my shoulders on youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. I mean, I don't think it's good that the Panthers are losing Trey Boston or the Packers are moving on from Kirksey, who did some good things for them, or Rick Wagner or the Eagles. But it's that time of year. And there's going to be a lot more where this came from. We'll talk with Andrew Brandt about it. He'll be back, the host of the Business of Sports podcast. We'll be back on Wednesday. But there's going to be a lot more where this came from.
Tuck Takes.
Two other notes to get to today. The salary cap floor now, $180 million. That's the first item. And the second thing, former first-round pick Tim Tebow has retired from professional baseball.
So it sounds like the salary cap, though, won't get to $185 million. So it sounds like it's going to be between 180 and 185, maybe 182, 183. They're trying to figure that out, which I guess is a little bit better than what we were thinking and relates to all those guys that just got released. As for Tebow, look, I don't blame Tebow. And in fact, I guess I admire him for continuing to try as long as he did at professional baseball. I mean, he really, I think, thought he could do it. I think that's why he was doing it. I think the Mets were just using him for publicity and for money and for commercial reasons to have a lot of people come to these minor league baseball games. But I think Tebow is confident, optimistic, hard worker, and thought he could make himself a major leaguer, which obviously was not the case. Let's get to an email, Bri.
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question? Well, here's your chance. It's time to ask Ross.
Email address, as always, ross@rostucker.com. We love your emails. We love you guys. ross@rostucker.com. All you ever have to do is take advantage of any of our sponsors, like Simply Safe or Purple Mattress. They're all listed over at rostucker.com on the sponsor tab. Take advantage of any of them, 100 Flowers, whatever, and then send me your question. I guarantee to read and respond to it on the air. Now, it might take a while, so that's why we're doing the football feedback, the YouTube exclusive show, so you guys can actually come on the show and ask me questions. But what do you got, Bri?
Hey, Ross, can the Steelers turn this thing around? I see frontline issues on offense. Ben is struggling with reads and arm strength. The three games in 12 days seem to take all the steam out of them. How do you change up that momentum? That is from Mike.
So first of all, Mike, that is awesome. He said that he got his mom a myfrontpagestory.com. That's awesome. Mother's Day will be here before you know it. Or you can just get people a story just to do it. Birthdays, whatever. My birthday's coming up. You want to get me one? Go for it. I think this was at the end of the year. Shows you that we're a little backed up on emails. But it's good timing, Mike, with the Damashek interview today on the show. And what I would tell you is, I think that the O-line really played poorly. They had no running game. I think Ben's arm wore out as the season went. I thought they became very predictable offensively. I don't know what the deal was with running a shallow cross every play. That made no sense to me. I think they did the right thing by moving on from the offensive line coach, the right thing by moving on from the coordinator. I think that will help. I think they should bring back Ben for one more year, let him know it's his last year, so he puts everything into it, gets in the best shape he can possibly get in, gets his arm ready. And I think this group did enough last year. They won a division, right? I mean, they won 11 games in a row to start the year. They went 12. They did enough. They're good enough. I would give this group – I'd rather give this group one more chance than be so quick to start a rebuild. Who knows how long that rebuild will take? Who, like, why are you in a hurry to get to the rebuild phase when you still have a group that gives you a chance? That's what I don't really understand. I do understand that any of our patrons, patreon.com/RTmedia, they're absolutely awesome. We love them. Pizza Boy Brewing, Sport of Culture, SteakhouseSports.com, Vision Comics with an X, DinerDepot.com. They are, I think we're done here, members of Patreon.com/RTmedia. We need a little happy hour soon. Other than that, we'll have the Even Money podcast tomorrow, looking ahead to 2021. How about it? Some Super Bowl futures, division futures, MVP futures. You're not going to want to miss our first look at the 2021 season on the Even Money podcast tomorrow. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, Business of Sports, and College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.